21st Sunday, ZA, in the Ordinary Time. The first reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 22, verses 15 and 19 to 23. Thus say the Lord God of hosts, come, go to the steward, to Shebna, who is over the household, and say to him, I will thrust you from your office, and you will be cast down from your station. In that day, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe, and will bind your girdle on him, and will commit your authority to his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him like a peg in a sure place, and he will become a throne of honor to his father's house. The second reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who had been his counselor? Or who had given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and to him, and through him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some said John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but you, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barzona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme, all authorities come from God. We are living in the world which The respect for authority is intrinsic, from the family to society and even in the church. The reason for this is the theory of absolute freedom, which thinks everyone is equal. No one can force others to do what they don't want. We can see this crisis in the Vietnamese family. From whomever the parents want their children to get married, they must obey to the point that whomever the children want to get married, the parents must agree. In the parish, from whatever the pastor commands, the parishioners must do, to the point that if the parishioners do not want that pastor, they can call pressure with the local bishop to move him from the parish. The crisis is also in the church. From the believers must listen to whatever the Pope teaches, because he is God's representative in the world, to the point that they can freely criticize him at all, strict, old, and insult all his teaching. Today's readings help us to recognize the origin and the necessity of the authority, and shall help us to respect and to listen to our parents and leaders. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah emphasized that the authority comes from God. When he no longer wants Sabna to be the prime minister, he gave that authority for Eliakim, Hilkiah's son. In the second reading, St. Paul was startled when he meditated about God's richness, wisdom, and understanding. No one can fathom his decision and ways. Therefore, the human duty is not about to question God, but to be humble and to follow his decrees. In the Gospel, Christ established his church on Peter, who is the rock, and gave him the authority to rule and to bind to the symbol of the key to the heaven. He solemnly promised that the power of death shall not rebel against it. Analysis. The first reading. The origin of all authorities. The first point. All authorities come from the Lord. God has the power to bestow authority and to take it away. No one can resist him. The authority is taken away and given to others when the authority insulted God, did not listen to him, or neglected their duties. In today's passage, the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah, "Come, go to this steward, to Sabna, who is over the household, and say to him, I will thrust you from your office, and you will be cast down from your station. In that day, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe, and will bind your girdle on him, and will commit your authority to his hand. and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The reason for taking away Shebna authority might be because of his misusing of power or his connection with the foreign authority, Egypt, and disregard God's will revealed to his prophets. God had authority not only on his people, but also on all the world leaders. We can rope this point in the Old Testament when God chose Cyrus, the Persian king, to issue the decree to liberate the Israelites from the exile, to return and to re-establish their lost country. Second point. When God gives authority, he also gives wisdom and strength for those in power. The key is the symbol of authority. When God gives the key to someone, he trusts and bestows his authority on that person. The one in authority governs people under him in the place of God. That is the reason why God said to Isaiah, "And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him like a peg in a sure place, and he will become a throne of honor to his father's house." Those who receive God's authority must serve his people well. They become like a father for people who are under them. The father's duties are to serve, to care, and to protect his children, not to be served by them or to maltreat them. Second reading. No one can fathom God's wisdom and ways. The background for this passage is Paul's effort, trying to under God's plan of salvation. Before Christ appeared to him on the way to Damascus, like many other Jews, he thought the Gentiles have no place in God's plan. After this appearance, he understood that even the Jew hardness is in God's providence, so that God's salvation can extend to all people of all nations. Third point. People often evaluate things according to their appearances. Since people can only see the outside, they evaluate things according to their appearance, such as strength, age, beauty, position, richness, degree. But many people judge it wrongly because they are unable to see what are inside, such as reverence for God, love for people, knowledge, temperament, and virtues. The appearance can hide many bad things inside and deceive people. Though God can choose leaders and send them to people, he chooses to enlighten people by his Spirit so they can choose good leaders for themselves. People should pray with the Holy Spirit to guide them with wisdom before every election. Even when people chose bad leaders, God can still provide opportunities for them to correct their mistakes and to choose better leaders. Second point, God can see thorough human minds and hearts. Since God fathoms human minds and hearts, no one can deceive him. God chooses leaders according to his standards, and his decisions are always right. St. Paul gave us the reasons for God's right decisions. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who had known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor, or who had given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and to him and through him are all things. When God chooses anyone to lead his people, he also gives him necessary resources to fulfill his mission. Therefore, the leader's duty is to always open to God's resources and pray for them, as King Solomon prayed for the divine wisdom so that he can govern God's people. If a leader neglects to seek God's guidance, he can fall into distress and is not able to fulfill his mission. In the history of Israel and of humankind, so many times people make wrong evaluations about things happened in the world. The main reason for this is because they view the human instead of God's standards in evaluating them. They paid attention to outside appearances instead of looking into inside values. They forget to pray to God, who can fathom all past, present, and future. All three are one before him. The Gospel. Christ bestowed on Peter the authority to govern the church. Third point. Many different opinions about Jesus' identity. Jesus' passion is near, and he wants to make sure his disciples should know his identity. First, he wants them to know other opinions about him. So he asked them, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some said John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter is the first one who recognized and proclaimed Christ is the Son of God, because he did not see Christ according to his appearance at the contemporaries, but he looked at him according to God's revelation. Similarly, when the Catholics look at the Pope and the church structure, they should not consider him purely as a worldly leader, and that structure as many other structures, but the representative of God in the world and the structure according to God's will. Second point, I shall build my church on this rock. Many biblical scholars argued, who is the rock in this sentence? There are many different opinions. First, to the Jews, the rock is only applied for God. See Psalm 18, verse 2 and verse 31. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 4 and 31. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. Saint Augustine also agreed with this position. Second, Arthur taught the rock is the truth, and Peter is the first who discovered and proclaimed this truth. Third, still Arthur taught the rock is Peter's faith in Christ, and because of this faith, the powers of death shall not rebel against it. Each opinion gives us a different view about Peter. He is the one chosen by God. If God is the rock, he also makes Peter to be the rock which the church shall be built upon it. The rock is also the truth and Peter's faith in Christ, with no power in the world can destroy them. Third point, different opinions about Peter and his successor authority. Christ said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Many churches and people to all generations argued the meaning of this sentence, and the Pope infallibility. Many people point out that this is the main reason that prevents many churches to unite. Not the differences in their doctrines. Many churches are afraid that once they return to the church, they must obey the Pope's authority. Fourth point. Argument about the Pope's infallibility. The infallibility of the Pope were formally defined in 1870 about the tradition behind this view go back much further. In the conclusion of the fourth chapter of its dogmatic constitution of the Church, Pater Aeternus, the First Vatican Council declared the following. We teach and defy that it is a dogma divinely revealed that the Roman Pontiff, when he speaks ex cathedra, that is, when in discharge of the office of the pastor and doctor of all Christians, by virtue of his supreme apostolic authority, he defined a doctrine regarding faith or morals to be held by the universal church, by the divine assistance promised to him in Blessed Peter. It possesses of that infallibility with which the divine Redeemer willed that his church to be endowed in defining doctrine regarding faith or morals, and that therefore such the definitions of the Roman pontiff are of themselves and not from the consent of the church infallible. So then, should anyone, with God forbid, have the temerity to reject the definition of ours, let him be anathema. Vatican Council 1, Constitution, the Ecclesiae Christi, Chapter 4, see Danziger, number 1839. The dogmatic constitution, Lumen Gentium, of the Second Vatican Ecumenical Council, which was also a document on the Church itself, explicitly reaffirmed the definition of papal infallibility so as to avoid any doubts, expressing this in the following words. This sacred council, following closely in the footsteps of the First Vatican Council, with that council teaches and declares that Jesus Christ, the Eternal Shepherd, established his Holy Church, having sent forth the apostle as he himself had been sent by the Father, and he willed that their successors, namely the bishops, should be shepherds of his church, even to the consummation of Peter over the other apostle, and instituted in him a permanent and visible source and foundation of unity of faith and communion. And all the teaching about the institution, the perpetuity, the meaning and reason for the sacred primacy of the Roman pontiff and of his infallible magisterium, this sacred council again proposed to be firmly believed by all the faithful. Many people deny the Pope authority and infallibility in this verse, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, but the fact that they are unable to deny if the Pope authority and the Church continue to exist more than 2,000 years. This fact shows the correct interpretation of this verse. Application in life. Out of love for human beings, God always prepared to give people good leaders to guide them in all difficult situations. We need to obey parents, teachers, and religious and civil leaders to safeguard the common order in our family, communities, and society. God gives authority to serve and to protect the common good, not to be served or proud of it. All leaders must be responsible for people they serve and judge it by God. The Catholics must use their eye of faith. They must absolutely obey and believe the Pope when he declares anything ex cathedra. Amen.